ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 6। भूतैर्भूतानि भूतेशा सृजति अवति हन्ति च आत्मसृष्टैर् अस्वतन्त्रैर् अनपेक्षोऽपि बालवात्। भूतैर्भूतानि भूतेशा सृजत्यावति हन्ति च आत्मसृष्टैर् अस्वतन्त्रैर् अनपेक्षोऽपि बालवात्। स्वतंत्र Mataji's, please. Bhutai, by some living beings. Bhutani, other living entities. Bhuta Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everything. Srijati, creates. Avati, maintains. Hanti, kills. Cha, also. Atma Srishtai, who are created by him. Asvatantrai, not independent. Anapeksha, not interested in creation. Api, although. Balavat, like a boy. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under His control, causes creation, maintenance and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or king to see the public's welfare. And he annihilates through agents for killing, such as snakes. The agents for creation, maintenance, and annihilation have no independent potency. But because of the spell of the illusory energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. Purport. No one can independently create, maintain, or annihilate. Bhagavad Gita 3:27 therefore says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Prakriti, material nature, as directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, induces all living entities to create, maintain, or annihilate according to the modes of nature. But the living entity, without knowledge of the Supreme Person and his agent, the material energy, thinks that he is the doer. In fact, he is not at all the doer. As an agent of the Supreme Doer, the Supreme Lord, one should abide by the Lord's orders. The present chaotic conditions of the world are due to the ignorance of the leaders, who forget that they have been appointed to act by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they have been appointed by the Lord, their duty is to consult the Lord and act accordingly. The book for consultation is Bhagavad Gita, in which the Supreme Lord gives directions. Therefore, those who are engaged in creation, maintenance, and annihilation should consult the Supreme Person who has appointed them and should act accordingly. Then everyone will be satisfied and there will be no disturbances. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimati Deva Amrita Swamini Tinamani Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauru Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpadarivyasya Kripasindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Before I begin, I'd like to take the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, Prabhupada disciples, especially Solness Praladananda Maharaj. It's like a shoe sitting on the throne when the helmet is on the floor. Please forgive me and bless me. So it's a very beautiful translation and purport. And the translation, Angira Rishi is explaining the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How even though Krishna is the ultimate cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, but he is detached, he is not interested. He has his agents working for him. Like the Mayavadis, they think that because Krishna is doing all these things and he's expanded himself, therefore there is no more Krishna. Like the, materially speaking, if you have $100 and you spend every day $1, at the end of 3.5 months, you don't have any more money left. But in the spiritual sense, Krishna is complete, even though unlimited potency is emanating from him. And he has so many agents working for him. Still, Krishna remains the same. And Krishna explains that in the 9th chapter, fourth verse of the Gita, Maya Tatham Idam Sarvam, Jagat Avyakta Murtina Matsani, Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshu Avastita. Krishna explains that by His potencies, everything is acting, but He is not directly involved. For us, it's very hard to understand how this works. Krishna does everything like carefree and so easy for Him. As minute part and parcels of Krishna, we struggle to do everything. Everything is a struggle for us. All the way from like, you know, eating, we struggle to eat, we struggle to sleep. Kali Yuga, you know, people can't even fall asleep. They have to take all kinds of medication to sleep. And to maintain health is a challenge. Or to speak of maintaining others, like a family. Bhagavatam says if you can maintain one family, you're considered an expert. Daksham Kurumba Bharanam. Daksha means an expert. We know about King Prajapati Daksha. He maintained like, you know, unlimited wives and children. But in Kali Yuga, just to maintain one family is difficult. So our life is like every step there's anxiety, there's misery. It's like a battle. But when we read about Krishna's position from the Krishna book and Gita, it's so nicely explained how Krishna creates, how Krishna maintains, and how Krishna destroys, and also what Krishna does for fun. Even in other religions, people have this conception of God being the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. But they have no idea that God is the supreme enjoyer, what He does for fun. But in the Krishna book, it's very nicely explained, all these things in detail. And also, when Krishna was explaining Himself to Arjuna in the 10th chapter of the Gita, it's like, like they say, how much can Krishna play His own trumpet? How much can He speak about, like Krishna's, you know, says some things about Himself, just to give us an understanding. And then Krishna says, Atava bahu naitena kim va tava Arjuna. And then Krishna says, Ekam sena stito jagat. How much can I go on saying about Myself, Arjuna? Just by a fragment of Myself, I maintain everything. So this is Krishna's position. And it's very important for us to read these things and understand. It's actually very humbling for us. Therefore, as conditioned souls, we don't like to hear about Krishna's pastimes, because we realize how insignificant we are just by listening to Krishna's position. And like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, envy means indirect, you know, appreciation. Krishna has all these potencies and energies and capabilities, so we are envious of Krishna. Therefore, instead of directly surrendering and glorifying Krishna, we blaspheme Krishna and we blaspheme His devotees, which is also like indirectly blaspheming Krishna. So that's envy. But by reading these pastimes and understanding Krishna's position, we can become purified gradually and understand Krishna's position. Just like in the Krishna book alone, there is so much nectar explaining how Krishna works. For example, if we wanted to create something, it's so much difficulty. And usually it's imperfect and some people appreciate it and some people don't, and so much hard work. But the way Krishna creates is when Mahavishnu is in Yoga Nidra, he's just exhaling. And this unlimited universe is perfectly designed, is coming out. How can we compare with that? It's like when we are sleeping, usually we just like in mode of ignorance, like a vegetable, you know, just like useless. We don't know what's going on. But when Krishna is sleeping, unlimited, perfect, complete universes are coming out. And for us to maintain something or destroy something, it's also so much hard work. We may think it's easy to destroy, but it's not. Just like this dog, there's so many documentaries out there about this World Trade Center being destroyed. Some say it's an inside job, some say it's, you know, it's from the Muslims. That's not, I didn't want to get into that, but the point is to destroy that. It was so much hard work. So much hard work. We all seen the documentaries. It's not easy. But for Krishna, if he just inhales and everything just disappears. So just inhalation and exhalation in yoga nidra, Krishna does it so perfectly. And when we wanted to have children, you know, those of you who are in the ashram, grihastha ashram, and had experience, it's so much difficulty just to have one child. So many complications. But Krishna just glances, not even staring for a few moments, just glances over the material energy. And material Mother Nature is impregnated with unlimited living entities. This is Krishna's potency. These are all like some of Krishna's potencies that's described in the Vedas. And also in the translation and purport, it's explained how Krishna does things through his agents, like for example, demigods. And Krishna, as we all know, empowers various demigods effortlessly. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read how Brahma came out of the navel, a lotus flower from the navel of Mahavishnu, and he was bewildered. And Krishna empowered him and educated him and gave him the, intelligence, how to create. And with that little intelligence that was given by Krishna, Brahma got bewildered. And once Brahma actually came to see Krishna in Dwaraka, and Brahma wanted to get in, but his gatekeeper said, let me first check with Krishna if he's available. So his guard went to Krishna and said, Brahma is here to see you. And Krishna asked him, which Brahma? And the guard went back and asked Brahma, like, Krishna wants to know which Brahma you are. And he was like, Brahma couldn't believe, like, what does he mean? Just tell him it's the Brahma, you know, the four-headed Brahma. And Brahma, the guard went back to Krishna and said, it's the four-headed Brahma. So, oh, I see. So Krishna called for all the Brahmas, 40-headed, 400-headed, you know, 4,000-headed, 4,000,000-headed Brahmas, who were perfectly created by Krishna. If somebody were to have two head, you know, they'll be called like a freak, you know, it'll be like a clown or something. Like a very odd scene you never seen before. Krishna can create a Brahma with 4,000,000 heads and it looks so beautiful and perfect. So Krishna was humbling Brahma. And there's also a pastime where in Krishna and Balaram, they studied under Sandipani Muni, and as an offering, as a charity, Sandipani Muni requested Krishna and Balaram to bring back their sons that died long time ago. So Krishna went to the abode of Yamaraj, and this whole world, everybody is so fearful of Yamaraj, all the way from Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. Nobody wanted to deal with Yamaraj. They all wanted to become immortal. But Krishna went to the abode of Yamaraj, and Yamaraj fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and worshipped him and gave back these sons of Sandipani Muni. He is also another demigod who is death personified. I was reading the Krishna book. It's amazing. One after another, it just shows like the position of the demigods. And also when Nanda Baba was, taking bath on a Dwadasi, he was bathing at a wrong time, and Varuna and his assistants, they actually arrested Nanda Baba and took him to the abode of Varuna under the waters. And Krishna was requested by the Brajabasis, and Krishna went to the abode deep within the waters, to the abode of Varuna, the in charge of the waters. And Krishna went there to release Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj is thinking like, you know, this is just a little boy, you know, that I gotta take care, otherwise he can be bitten by monkeys or he's naughty like this. But Varuna was actually worshipping Krishna. And Nanda Baba couldn't believe his eyes what he was seeing. But then Varuna with great respect released Nanda Maharaj and apologized to Krishna. And today is the day that Krishna was humbling Indra Dev. Today is the day that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. We all know the famous pastime. The Prabhupada explains there were two reasons why Krishna performed this leela of lifting the Govardhan Hill. One is to show that there is no need as devotees for us to worship anyone other than Krishna. You don't need to indirectly approach Krishna through some demigod. And secondly, Prabhupada explains that Krishna does not like to see his devotees becoming proud. I mean, we have nothing going in Kali Yuga. We are proud, what to speak of Indra. He was very proud. And Krishna wanted to humble him. And Krishna wanted to do these two things, two mangoes in one stone. And Krishna was performing these pastimes. He actually told Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men that don't worship this Indra, who is the king of heavens. Instead, just worship this large hill, Govardhan Hill. Can you imagine how much it's insulting for Indra? And Indra was so insulted, Indra was so carried away by his position and power, that he was willing to destroy all of Vrindavan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, if somebody kills a cow, for each hair on the body of the cow, that many times you have to go to hell. That many years. Maharaj is saying we have to go to thousands of years to... Okay, so for each hair on the body of the cow, you have to go to hell for each hair, 1,000 years in hell. But Indra was so infatuated, like intoxicated with his pride, he was willing to kill all the cows of Vrindavan. What to speak of, like, the cowherd men, women, he was just like, he lost it. But Krishna just effortlessly lifted this Govardhan Hill, like a child picks up a mushroom with his left hand pinky. And he was holding it up for like 7 days. And this thunder, Indra is sending thunderbolts and samvartaka clouds, which is good enough to destroy this whole planet. But the Govardhan Hill, empowered by the pinky of Krishna, was not even feeling anything when these thunderbolts were striking. And Krishna was not, you know, perspiring and in anxiety and low blood sugar. And Krishna was like, you know, looking at the gopis and like winking at them and like having great time. And of course the parents of Krishna were in anxiety because they were covered by Yoga Maya. You know, Mother Yashoda thought it was actually Nanda Maharaj who held it up with his cane at the end of the day. But this was Krishna showing Indra his position. And even Lord Shiva, it's explained in the Krishna book, Lord Shiva had a great devotee of Lord Shiva, not a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So this person, this demon, his name was Banasura. And he had like 1,000 arms. And with his 1,000 arms, he was actually playing drum for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva would dance in ecstasy. So Lord Shiva, being Ashutosh, easily pleased and easily angered, actually was very, very favorable to Banasura. And Banasura also lost it and he wanted to fight with Lord Shiva. His hands were itching and he couldn't find anybody like competent to fight. So Lord Shiva said, "You rascal, you want to fight with me? There will be somebody who will be your match, namely Krishna." So there was actually a war between Krishna and Banasura. And Lord Shiva, being so obligated to Banasura, took the side of Banasura. We all know this pastime. And Lord Shiva actually sent his Siva Jwara, which was, you know, which created so much heat. Prabhupada explains how a lot of heat, that's austerity, but cold is misery. We cannot function. So Vishnu, Krishna sent Vishnu Jwara and defeated him. And Lord Shiva actually came and apologized and defeated and surrendered to Krishna in this pastime. And finally, it's explained how even Mahavishnu, in the kingdom of Ugrasena, this one Brahmin's children were dying untimely. So this Brahmin was so angry, he was actually insulting Arjuna. That what is this? As father is living and my children are dying, what kind of kingdom is this? There is something wrong. And Arjuna said, "This won't happen in the future. If it did, I will actually enter into fire." And sure enough, it happened again, and Arjuna wanted to die. But Krishna does not want his devotees to be insulted or what to speak of dying. Krishna took Arjuna to all the lokas, all the planetary systems within this material universe, and even went past the causal, Viraja Nadi. What's Viraja Nadi in English? Viraja. Just Viraja, translated. Nirvana. Okay. So he went past the Viraja Nadi to the abode of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu actually had all these children of the Brahman that disappeared. And he returned them to Arjuna and he actually revealed his mind. He said, "Krishna, I actually was longing to have your darshan. Therefore I was performing this little pastime. I'm so glad to see you." So this is the position of Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. There's no cause for Krishna. Krishna is the cause of everything. And he does everything while having fun. Krishna maintains and empowers and destroys effortlessly. Innumerable demigods, not in just one universe, in all universes, he maintains them, he takes care of them. And what is Krishna doing? Stealing butter, getting caught and being chastised by Mother Yashoda. And also the acharyas explain that even though Krishna is detached from this creation, maintenance and destruction, in one sense Krishna is very much concerned. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita it's explained that there is one thing Krishna don't have, is that the love of few of the living entities that have left him. And these living entities have left Krishna and come us to this material creation, and Krishna is in separation, very deep separation from the jivatmas. Like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that Gopakumar, Krishna was wondering, when will this foolish living entity turn to me? In this lifetime? Oh no, he didn't. Will he turn to me in this lifetime? Oh no, he didn't. Krishna kept waiting and waiting. And finally he came as his spiritual master. And finally when Gopakumar made it back to the spiritual world, it's not like Krishna is saying like, oh, you know, you nonsense, you know, you left me and I hope you learned your lesson and look what you've caused for me, anxiety. And Krishna was not cursing him. Krishna was so grateful, Krishna was so glad. He embraced Gopakumar and they both fainted. So this is how much Krishna loves the living entities. And that's why Prabhupada explains, that's why book distribution or any form of preaching is so dear to Krishna. Because through this activity, you know, we're bringing back a conditioned soul once again back to Krishna. And Krishna explains there is nobody more dear to him than one who does this service of reuniting this lost conditioned soul once again with Krishna. So even though Krishna is detached from creation, maintenance and everything, but still he is so concerned. This is the beauty of Krishna. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. We have a couple minutes left. Holiness Prahlad Nanda Maharaj, you like to say some comments or add anything or... Vijay Prabhu.
In the end of the purport, it says that the leaders should consult with Krishna. Now how can they consult with Krishna?
It says that the book for consultation is Bhagavad Gita, in which the Supreme Lord gives directions. As we all know, Prabhupada's saying that his books will be the law book for the next 10,000 years, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also predicted that there will be future even high court judge with the Vaishnava Tilak. So it's our duty to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide, and so you know, the leaders will hopefully get the message. And you know, when they read the Bhagavad Gita, then they can start to follow. You're the expert at this, you're forwarding emails, like the president of the Mauritius, she got a Bhagavad Gita. Radhanath Maharaj met a meeting with so many great personalities and is influencing them with Krishna consciousness, and so many devotees were doing wonderful preaching, like Dutta Karma Prabhu, Prahlad Nanda Maharaj. So hopefully when the leaders of this planet will receive Prabhupada's Gita as it is, then the face of the earth can change. That's the hope, but we have to, you know, spread it. Like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he spread it among like the Beatles, and it made, they made a Hare Krishna album and was number one in England for many years. So it's possible, we just have to be convinced. Like Prabhupada said, if my disciples are convinced, then we can take over the world in 18 days. Does that make sense? Or you wanted to add something? Anything else? Jai, thank you for your kind attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.